It's a 2-hour broadcast. 34 and a half minutes of that was gymnastics. That's 38 out of 107 routines. And then day two actually got worse, believe it or not. That was 29 minutes of gymnastics out of a 2-hour broadcast with 33 out of 106 routines.
Hello, welcome to Half In, Half Out, the only LGBTQ plus gymnastics podcast. I'm Kino.
And I'm Blake. And today we're talking about U.S. championships. And we have two extremely special, wonderful friends and guests, our podcast twins, literally, and also like we're twin podcasts. We have Ashley and Brittany from All Things Gymnastics. Hello, friends. How are you?
Hi.
Hello. How are you guys?
Sad.
Sad.
Same. We're all a little bit sad right now.
It's a sad day.
Sad day.
So here's how this is going to work. We're going to, on our podcast, talk about all of the what happened of championships. And then on All Things Gymnastics, we're going to talk about all of the implications for what happened, how we see things moving on to trials and into Tokyo. Do we want to do this chronologically? Do we want to talk about day one? Do we want to talk about men? I watched men.
We watched men's, but I feel like I don't have a whole lot of input. Like, I feel like I don't know what's going on as much with men. So I feel like if you know, then like go off.
No. The only things I felt really strongly about with men's were, it's not even gymnastics related. I'm all here for us having like challenging conversations about what it means to have gymnasts that are like very clearly going to be on the team that also like have personal or political values that we really disagree with. Like, I think that that's a really valid conversation mm-hmm. to be having. Mm-hmm. And it is, I think, for me, hard to be excited about a team that has somebody on it who's like gonna wear a Trump tie to an event. Like, it just like not makes me not feel good. I think I said in our last episode that when I thought about like Morgan being on the team, it gave me all these like, oh, I'm so glad that she gets like represent me stuff. And mm-hmm. so it is kind of a bummer to not be able to feel that excitement.
Well, and I feel like some of the athletes, and it applies to both the men's and the women's side, we know that their political beliefs and their values don't align with ours, and you want to look past that and just focus on their gymnastics. But as a human being, that's really, really hard to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like,
it is.
You can acknowledge that somebody might be a great gymnast or that they've improved a lot, but then still be like, yeah, I don't vibe with you. And that's kind of how I feel with a lot of these.
I also get frustrated because every time this happens, people are always like also super shocked. And I'm like, I've talked about this before. I think I talked about this on the End of Sport interview, maybe. But like, you also have to look at where the people who do gymnastics come from. You know, a lot of the time, socioeconomic status where they are going to have more conservative views, whether that's right or wrong, that's just what we're dealing with here. So every sometimes somebody's like, and there is a difference between being, you know, politically, you know, on a different side, not to get like too into it, but like, or but actively, you know, showing support for a political candidate. There is a difference here. I do recognize that.
Yeah.
But it's like every time that people are shocked, I'm really like, I'm never shocked.
Yeah.
I'm more shocked when somebody like speaks out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer. Lots of good gymnastics, lots of hats. Yul and Sam had their cowboy hats on in the mix zone,
as they should have.
Yeah,
that is 100% what I would have done.
Someone said yeehaw to Yul. He said yeehaw back. It was the best moment of my life.
Highlight of the whole weekend.
It was so good. It was really great to hear Sam in the mix zone. Like, he's just such like a grown man. Yeah. Like,
I love him.
Yeah,
seriously, I'm in love with him. And I know he's engaged.
Too late,
your shot's over.
I'm like, I just It was really cool to hear from him and to have him talk about mental health and to have people ask, to be people asking questions about mental health in the mix zone was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's on both sides too, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think we hear more about mental health in regards to the women's side and not so much the men's. So I think having Sam really speak out on that is like super, super big.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel that we saw so many more routines from Mag than Wag? And I personally have a reason that I think this is true. And I think it's just because no one
people didn't buy it. No, yeah. Not as many people bought advertisements.
So they're just like, okay, we'll show a million routines. And it's because Mag is less popular.
We were talking about that too. And I think it's exactly that. It's so many people are tuning in to watch the women, especially in an Olympic year. Mm-hmm. So the advertisers are like going crazy wanting to get a spot during championships because they know everyone's going to see it. Whereas it's not so much like that on the men's side. But what confused me was that men's, obviously they have more events, so the competition goes longer. So their broadcast was like, was it 2.5 hours, 3? I don't remember exactly. It was more. The women's is only 2.
Yeah.
And we saw so little routines, and like they can have so many routines on the men's side. Yeah. This was at M Watches Gym on Twitter. Put this together and I'm like, this is brilliant because we can actually see like how little gymnastics we actually saw for the women. So day one, it's a 2-hour broadcast. 34 and a half minutes of that was gymnastics. That's 38 out of 107 routines. And then day two actually got worse, believe it or not. That was 29 minutes of gymnastics out of a 2-hour broadcast with 33 out of 106 routines shown.
I actually thought day two was better, but so.
I did too. I think it felt better. Then I saw that and I was like, oh.
It wasn't. Oh.
They covered it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the lineups in front of me, I could kind of tell because there was a couple times with the women's day two that they came back from commercial like they were coming into the beginning of like the second half of the rotation, but they were actually coming into like the end of the second half of the rotation.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you just skipped like 10 people, like fully 10 people.
I just wish they could have got more time like they do. If they have a 3-hour time slot blocked off for the men, why can't they do that for the women? Because there's so many people on the women's side that people want to see, especially in an Olympic year. So why couldn't they just give them a bigger time slot to be able to show them all? Like starting the competition a half hour before the broadcast and all these routines.
Makes no sense. And also, how come the event before day two, literally, they said, thanks to blah, blah, blah sponsor for allowing us to have a limited commercial broadcast. How many hours of golf? Like, and this is not the first time I'm going to talk about golf today, but I don't understand why we can't get a limited commercial broadcast for gymnastics.
Yeah. I just feel like it's so bad for the sport, too.
Yeah,
it is.
Anyone that's tuning in and is trying to get excited about gymnastics or the Olympics, like, nobody wants to watch people standing around. No one wants to see commercial breaks every 10 minutes.
It felt like every 2 or 3, maybe like 4 routines, commercial break.
Yeah. If you started watching gymnastics at like classic and you're just like, okay, like who are the gymnasts who are like in it for this Olympics? You wouldn't know who Malabuyo is.
Nope.
You wouldn't know
Shailese.
Yeah. You wouldn't know who Shailese is.
Emily Lee.
Yeah, you would know Emily Lee. You like barely know Riley McCusker. Like it's just like super bizarre that they're showing like 5 minutes of Simone's ankle being taped and her on her literally on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
They were showing, I think it was Simone just like walking around or something as Morgan's floor music was going.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the thing that made me the most mad.
Yeah.
Besides what happened after. But like
the fact that I didn't get to see one of Morgan's last routines ever live, and I had to watch it on YouTube. Are you joking?
And then the only time they showed her on day two was when she fell on beam. They showed her falling and that's it. As if like nothing else matters.
It's ridiculous.
It's kind of rude, honestly, in my opinion.
It's straight up disrespectful.
Yeah.
This is like,
that's the thing. Watching that broadcast, you would have never known that
Morgan is a world champion. She's mm-hmm. a national champion. She's somebody who actually was legitimately in contention for the Olympics, which anyways.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't have known that watching NBC's broadcast. And shouldn't we have known that? I mean, yes, yes. As gymnastics fans, we know that. But the average person tuning in, like our mom, for example.
Yeah.
We had Morgan on our podcast a couple weeks ago. So our mom like knows who she is because of that. And then she's like, what's going on with Morgan? Like, why aren't they showing her? And I'm like, right?
I mean, exactly. All they have to do is say she had two elbow surgeries less than 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Or two-ish months ago. Like, I just feel like, it's disrespectful.
I feel like they would, NBC, I feel like they would eat that up anyways. Like, even if it's mm-hmm. for the wrong reasons. But, right. Like, that's a storyline in itself. Like, world champion Morgan Hurd coming back from two elbow surgeries earlier this year, and right. You know what I mean? Like, that is a storyline in itself. So you think that even if it was for those reasons and not just like she's amazing and deserves to be shown, you think they still would have showed her for mm-hmm. that reason. And yeah, I was just like blown away.
Yeah, even if it's for the wrong reason, like for the cross press of like the Olympic Channel stuff, even mm-hmm. you know,
and
like,
you know, they love that stuff as much as it annoys gymnastics fans and like right? totally yeah. hate it, but like. They love that because that's what the average person that doesn't care about gymnastics, they see that and they're like, ooh, drama. Like, ooh, what's this? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Can I
like,
say one thing I thought the broadcast did well, actually?
Please.
Yeah, there probably wasn't much, so go ahead.
They didn't talk about
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought about this and I'm like, I'm so glad they didn't talk about why Riley moved.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about, you know, potentially, you know, Lori being away from the sport for so long, and they didn't talk about. I was really glad, and I was like, "This is the one good thing you're doing right now," because that is stuff they talk about. Don't you remember during Winter Cup when they were like talking about dying, and I was like, "Why are we talking about
that? Was
why are
so
we putting his face on the screen?"
Yeah, that was super, super uncomfortable, and like it was so fresh. Like, didn't
yeah.
that happen?
Yeah.
It was the day before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, you could make a passing comment. There's no reason to, A, go in depth, or B, show his picture. Like, I had family members being like, hey, did you hear about blah, blah, blah? I'm like, yeah, and he's garbage.
Yeah. Well, I don't even understand, like, why they mentioned him at all. I mean, I get that it's significant, I guess. Like, it's big news in the gymnastics world, or it was at the time, but, like, it's not like he was someone that like we want to honor and remember. Like,
right.
You think they would save that kind of stuff for like Diane Durham or like someone who's actually done like amazing things? No mention of her on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted, as NBC or whoever, like I wouldn't have wanted to be driving more people to that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's tragic enough for the family. It's tragic
for the family.
Enough.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, you know, even though like obviously did terrible, terrible things, like he does still have a family and those people are still grieving or having to come to terms with that or in whatever way.
Yeah.
And I think that it's just like, no, the gymnastics fans don't want it. The family doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Let's and just I'll, not like, put it there.
Right. Well, and also his former athletes, like,
yes, mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people who have been affected by the things that he's done to them. And he's also mm-hmm. like, he has a lot of supporters still. And I'm not saying I agree with that or that's right, but that's also just reality. Like a lot of his former athletes support him still to this day. And I mm-hmm. think like that having him be like broadcasted all over the place and the details of what happened was traumatizing for everybody. Like literally his family, his former athletes, the survivors of his abuse, like everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking about like Ali Raisman has been tuning in to all these competitions and like doing Instagram lives and like tweeting during these whatever. And like with it's like, okay, so now like Jordan Weber just doesn't get to like enjoy gymnastics. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like you can't just like enjoy the thing now that like is your livelihood still in Jordan's case. Like, and it was like that for a long time with like other abusive people too. Like it just, there has to be a balance between like bringing attention to things that are important, addressing things that have happened that are impacting the people on the floor while not like further causing harm to the people who are on the floor and watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
NBC learned one thing because.
Well, I think they just didn't talk about Riley.
But they talked about Lori a lot.
Not that much.
They showed her injury, and then
I know
her dismount from the competition, yeah. Which wasn't really a dismount.
I also thought that was not necessary.
No, what Lori doing beam?
No, showing the injury.
Oh yeah. you could have just told us she's out with an injury. We didn't actually. Yeah, but we know NBC's all about the injury porn.
You know, NBC like loved to play Riley almost hitting her head on the beam like for like a whole year.
Yeah. They eat that up. It's drama to them, so.
It's so gross. Okay, so real quick, the other thing from Mag that I wanted to talk about. Did you guys see the Shane Wiskus fall situation?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I technically, like, work at my gym now, and so I had to, like, go through all of those, like, trainings, like, 2 weeks ago, and I just went through the concussion training, and so it was just like fresh in my mind. And so when I first saw it, I thought that I was just being like, when you first get CPR trained or whatever, and you're just like, I'm going to have to use it at any time. Like, I just thought it was like, I was being extra about it. And then everyone else was like, no, like it was bad. There's two components to that training. One of them is like how to spot a concussion and all of the many ways it can manifest. And also the fact that sometimes it doesn't really manifest physically and it's hard to notice. And so you kind of have to rely on the, like, if they whacked their head or they had a hard neck snap, which has both happened, I think, mm-hmm. in Shane's case, that you have to stop them and check them out. Like, even if they say they're fine, even if they seem fine, if they have a serious neck snap or a head hit, you have to stop them and check them out, period. Yeah. And the other half of the training is about that's hard, that, like, telling an athlete who wants to keep going that they need to pause is hard, and that mm-hmm. we have to fight to make sure that the rules of each of our sports, because it's like a broad for all coaches training, that the rules like allow for you to do the things that you're supposed to do, that you wouldn't be punished for getting checked out, etc. But I think is part of the problem here.
Yeah.
All that being said, after the second fall, I probably would have pulled him. After the third one, I absolutely would have pulled him.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
I feel like the third fall, he hit his head the hardest out of all of them. The first one was pretty bad. The second one, he like landed on his leg, so it was like fine. And then the third one, he hit his head really hard. And at that rate, I was like kind of panicking. Like, mm-hmm. I was afraid that something really, really bad was going to happen. And I think like Tim and the commentators were kind of worried too. Like, what's about to happen? Like, what are we about to watch? Like, stop him.
They fully were like saying on the broadcast, like, they were basically saying, like, it would be protocol at this point to make him stop. And then he got back up, and I was like, oh my God, like, we cannot be doing this on TV right now.
Yeah.
It is so bad.
Also, that's endangering, like, his own chances of the Olympic team just through pure injury. Like, yeah. Shane, no one's gonna say, oh my gosh, you fell three, like, okay, falling three times, but, like, you know, you come.
And the second and third fall, to me, seemed like they were partially caused by the fact that he'd fallen on the first one and like had maybe hit his head, like,
yep.
And then they showed a close up of his face and he looked like dizzy, and I was like, yeah. That if I looked at an athlete and that was their face, they are done for the day,
yep.
Period.
Why did his coach not stop him? Well, I think, and I saw a lot of people on Twitter talking about this, there's this like narrative, I guess, that gymnasts have to like push through and like be tough and like finish the routine, like you got to come back from this. But it's like, at that rate, his chances of even being on the podium were gone.
Yeah.
And yeah. Not that that's mm-hmm. what matters, like, first of all his safety, but like I think gymnasts and coaches are still in that mindset of like, we have to like prove that we can come back from this. Like, I had to get up and show everybody that I could do the skill, which I completely disagree with. I don't feel like that's safe. I don't feel like that's healthy. He could have stopped that routine and everybody still would have had respect for him. They still have known that he was in second place going into that final routine. Like, he's obviously good enough. He proved himself at this meet, regardless of what happened in that routine, you know?
Especially if the first thing you finish, you walk off, and then, you know, 2 hours later, a day later, whatever, you're like, hey, I had to leave for concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I don't have a concussion or whatever. Like, we don't actually, I think, know right now anything about how he's doing. Brett didn't come to the mix zone after day two for men, so we didn't get to ask any questions about that. It was also like super fresh, but I'm very much hoping that he's okay. It was super scary to watch, and I just really, really hope that, like, especially young people, but like also adults who are doing gymnastics, like watching this, like, to not think that because you just saw somebody do that, that is
okay.
And that, like,
he was in position for silver too.
Yeah. But if you're like me and you have gone through that concussion training, like, you're not wrong if you looked at that and you were like, here are the things that I saw. And like, I hope that I'm wrong, that those would actually be signs of a kick. Like, I hope that he wasn't dizzy, that he wasn't out of it, that his depth perception was okay.
Maybe he was just stunned, like, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Maybe he just got the wind knocked out of him. Like, but that, like, if I, like, I'm going to the gym tomorrow, and if I saw the same look on a gymnast's face, they would be done. Mm-hmm. And I just really hope he's okay. It's super scary.
Scary.
And then they named the men's team. People had a lot of feelings about it. I don't know enough to have feelings about it.
I don't either. I'm just happy that Yule did well.
Yeah.
I love Yule. Yule's my favorite Mag. I love him.
Yule and Sam. Those are my two.
Wag time. We already talked about there a million freaking commercials.
There's a million routines we didn't see.
A million routines we didn't see. Do we want to start with Chelsea Memel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start with Chelsea Memel.
She's an icon.
She is an icon.
She looks so good on day one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy crap.
She did.
Yeah.
Her vault looked better than it did back when she did it in 2006.
Yeah. They're like pretty much identical, but like absolutely like.
On day two, though, when she touched the ground and that fist clench, I was like, she's like, she's so mad. I was like, good, show your emotions.
The way she landed her vault on day two kind of scared me. I thought for a split second that she hurt herself. The way she came in.
Yeah, it seemed like she, and they were saying on the broadcast too, it seemed like she just like didn't get any, like a good pop off the table at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like an Achilles buster. I was like, oh no. Don't do this to us.
Beam day one, though.
Yep. Beam day one was really good. I'm sad that she keeps having mistakes on her double Arabian, because I feel like in her YouTube videos.
Not a double Arabian. You keep saying that.
I said that on our episode last week. I keep calling it double Arabian. What's wrong with me? Her Arabian. Her Arabian is the most consistent skill, I feel like, in her YouTube videos. Right. Mm-hmm. And then that's the one thing that she keeps messing up in competition. Day one, she landed it. And then classics, and day two, she fell on it.
Yeah.
I wish she would move it up earlier in her routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
That's something about that.
That's not my original thought, obviously.
They said on the broadcast too, they were like, well, she used to do this at the like here, and now she does it here. And I was like, are you trying to be like, she should move it, because you're right.
Also, her bars. She just flew off. And I was like,
no.
That was so floaty. But it was like a really nice fly off. It was like, it was more like she was in practice and doing parts of her routine.
That's what it was, though.
Yeah. She was just like, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's fully what it was. She had said in Mixzone that if she didn't.
I just like Nastia having to talk about Chelsea.
Same. Yeah, no, Chelsea said in the thing, like, that she'd only ever practiced it in two parts, and that she knew if she didn't hit, like, a certain thing, that she was just going to hop off, and so she did, and she did that both nights.
But I think it was in the warm-up before day two. I saw a video that someone, like, in the stands recorded. She actually hit her whole bar routine, and it was really, really good. So, if only she did that in competition. Have you guys not seen it?
Awesome.
I feel like I haven't seen it either. I posted it. I'll find it and I'll send it to you.
I also did like that she was like, you know what? And on day two, she's like, no, I'm done. I'm not getting on the bars again. And I'm like, good for you. You have every right to do that.
Mm-hmm. Her dismount is really good. I feel like she's landing that really consistently, like maybe better than before.
I did kind of want her to routine day two, because I wanted her to stick the dismount.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I feel like that was like the theme of the weekend, was like fall 14 times in your routine and then get back up and like stick the crap out of your dismount.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I also feel that because I like rules to be applied across the board, and based on the rules that I think should be put in place that I'll talk about later, I think Chelsea should have also been given an invitation to trials, because I think that's how the world works when you are a world champion and an Olympic medalist. But hey, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, is Chelsea probably in the best form to be at trials? In some places, yeah.
I legitimately think that she would make sense in theoretically as an alternate.
Yeah, I do too.
I could see that.
I can understand why you wouldn't want to put her on the main team. I can 100% understand that.
Yeah, that's a lot. But like,
I know, but
I genuinely would consider taking her as an alternate, because you don't necessarily need your alternates to be all arounders. Mm-hmm. You kind of want somebody who's gonna be, you really want alternates who are gonna be able to be like independently motivated, be in that like just crappy side gym. And like, actually, I think aren't they going to be at home? Wait, isn't that how it's going to work? Aren't they going to be at home? And then if they need them, they're going to fly them in. I'm pretty sure.
I think so, because of COVID.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard.
That's the first I'm hearing that.
Oh God, I love the drama of it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they're leaving the alternates at home and they're going to fly them in if they need them, which is bonkers.
Well, like, what happens if someone gets hurt? It's because of COVID.
Yeah, but what happens if someone gets hurt in the middle of, like, in warm-ups? You can't.
Yeah.
Pause the meet.
I think
we gotta fly. Like,
I also would just like, I love the idea of like Chelsea being there with all the alternates and like giving them all this advice.
Exactly. Like, you want someone who's gonna be like a leader on that side of it.
And you can pull her in. Oh, you need Chelsea to do a vault? Because we have, fine. Pull her in to do it. She can do a double twisting Yurchenko. Pull her in for beam. Make her move the Arabian, but pull her in for beam.
Yeah. If you told her right now, hey, we're legitimately thinking of you as an alternate, if you can get beam
under control.
If you can fix the Arabian situation and you can get bars done, but more so the first one, we'll actually think of you as an alternate. Can you get this done? She would be in the gym getting it done, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The amount that she has improved, I feel like, in such a short amount of time is really impressive. And I feel like with a lot of like former Olympian making comebacks, like, I don't know. I feel like she's at a higher level than what we're used to seeing. I mean, I guess aside from like Gabby Douglas and Allie Raisman, but like
compared to like Nastia.
I'm thinking, right, Nastia comes to mind. Sean Johnson comes to mind. Like, Chelsea is superior.
I think there's something to be said that she's coming back, you know, over a decade later, almost a decade later, because she has nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
She has proven herself. She was around for the 2004 quad. I believe she was injured, so she wasn't in contention for that team. She's been around a while, and she just like, I want to come back, and she has nothing to lose. The motivation is like, it's just, she wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because there was no expectation for her to come back. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes there is an expectation when you have somebody who wants to be a back-to-back Olympian. Not that people don't want to come back, but the expectations are different. I just think that the expectations are different, and that's probably why her motivation seems different, and why she's also, because she's Chelsea Memel and she's great. But I think that there is a different mindset going into that.
Did you see her Instagram post where she said that she's not done, basically?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yay!
Good. Send Chelsea to 2021 Worlds.
Right?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, me too. I think she's perfect for Worlds. Like, absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. She's going to have a little bit more time. She can get a Floritine together, work on her bars, piece it together, get a little more consistent. Perfect.
She could be in medal contention if she had a full all-around program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you rather see her keep training and go for Worlds or go on the tour?
Worlds, for sure.
I was thinking Worlds. About that. See, I think tour would be nice because then she could make that money. But then I want her to win more medals. I think that would be so iconic.
I want her to go to Worlds.
She comes back and she wins more world medals. It's just perfect.
This is true. I'm just very excited for this tour. We got our tickets today. I'm so excited.
I saw that. I know. I want to go.
You should go. The tickets are, like, you can get cheap seats for $60 after, like, fees included.
Oh, those are the crappy seats? Or
yeah, but it's LCA, so they're not, like, there are no crappy seats.
That's not bad.
That's not true. There are crappy seats. They're actually in the middle section. There's, like, a weird part in the middle section where it's, like, blocked by this building. Like, there's, like, blind spots in LCA. Mm-hmm. But if you're on the top level, you're good. And those are $60. We got on the floor, which is like $150 because we're bougie. Okay, this competition that happened. Jordan Chiles just is so like rock solid on every event. And I wrote this about Beam, and then she like had an issue. This is day one. But then like it's just she has that that like Kyla Ross, like, I am here and I am not concerned about this. I know what I'm doing energy. It's like, oh, you're ready.
Her confidence has improved like tenfold. Mm-hmm. It's almost unreal to me. And I think seeing her at the end of the meet yesterday get emotional made me emotional. And even still today, I go back mm-hmm. and I watch that moment. And I'm just so, so happy for her to see how much her gymnastics has improved and her confidence is growing. And she's like actually, like she's going to go to the Olympics unless something happens. So... Mm-hmm. A couple months ago, I don't know if I saw that happen.
Well, for the longest time, she was being overlooked. Like, obviously, she hadn't made any Worlds teams. And I feel like when you look on Twitter and see everyone's Olympic team predictions, she wasn't on very many people's teams. And now she is. But she totally deserves it.
And when she was on people's teams before Classic or even Winter Cup, I was like... And now I'm like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Joke's on
us. It's going to be Simone and Jordan.
Yeah, and that's so crazy to think about because, like, to think that Simone and Jordan are both basically the locks. Like, I would never have imagined it would be Jordan. Nope. Especially, like, if you go back to, like, 2017, like, my team prediction was totally different. And then where mm-hmm. we're at now, I would have maybe said, like, Suni, which we'll talk about that. You could argue that Suni's a lock, too, but...
Yeah.
Jordan,
yeah, spoilers for your
Simone. I just never would have imagined that.
Yeah. Who else do I have notes about? Michaela Skinner's got to like get stuff in control, which I feel like is we've been saying this to her for 5 years.
But, I was like, that's the story of her elite career. What are you talking about?
And like Michaela loves gymnastics. Michaela, I think, made a good point in our last episode, which is just like there isn't a point of doing this much difficulty if you're going to have so many deductions that you're not ending up in the top, whatever.
Right.
I know that. Like with Spencer's analysis that like she would be on one of like the potential like highest scoring teams. I'm just like, but you cannot get away with all that
internationally.
Yeah. It's
just, I do think her vaults would be valuable. I'm not saying that she's going to be on the team by any means, but her vaults are really good. And Chan has improved tremendously. So I will give her that. And I think overall, I really do think if we're being fair, she has improved a lot over the last, I guess
absolutely.
Ever since coming back from college, she's a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, like her block on vault is better. She's actually getting both her arms on the table. And I feel like her landings are a little bit better, especially at nationals. Like she had the best vaults of her career at nationals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like if you didn't have the Jade Carey situation, that she would actually be a plus one. They'd take her for a vault medal.
Oh, totally.
Because in that, if you didn't have the Jade Carey situation, I feel like Jade Carey might be on the team.
Blake is not ready to go that far.
I'm saying,
that's part two, but I'm saying within that possibility in that realm, okay? I think the way that everything's set up, it's less likely.
Yeah, because if she were to go, it would be for 100% for vault and maybe floor. She's kind of iffy on floor because of her reputation, but I feel like it doesn't do her any favors to have both Simone and Jade also being so good on vault.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've improved a lot and you're good too, but I just don't know if it's enough.
I don't think I would hate it if she came back to NCAA. And if you had asked me that 4 years ago, I would have been like, absolutely not.
She is really good at the press piece of it. That she can, and I'm saying this because these are all things that over this past weekend I saw other gymnasts not be able to do to varying degrees. She's able to understand the subtext of people's questions. She is able to, in the moment, like make decisions about like how much she wants to bash the past or people or whatever and say,
she also puts it nicely.
Yeah, without really pulling punches, like she'll be able to say, like, this was brutal. And at the time, I felt like it seemed okay because it worked. Like, she's able to, she's just like a grown person whose brain has developed more. Mm-hmm. She can like give nuance and appreciate nuance. So we'll talk about the what happened after this in part two on All Things Gymnastics. But gymnastically, had beautiful floor both days, had multiple falls on beam both days.
The same skills too, like her standing.
Oh, we didn't see her beam. We didn't see her beam day one.
Layup step out both days.
We did not see her beam day one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Because
we saw very little Morgan the whole.
Because I told her it didn't count. I was like, "It's fine. We didn't see it. It doesn't count." We didn't see her beam day one, and then day two. Yeah, we saw beam up until the fall. We did not see floor. We could hear her freaking music while they were showing not gymnastics. Made me so mad.
You're telling me day two they showed her floor?
No.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. I had to watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm deeply offended by that.
Day one they did.
Yeah. Okay. How do you guys feel about her choreography?
I love it.
So good.
I absolutely love it. It's my favorite since 2017.
And she performs the heck out of it. Like, even when she's not having a good meet, like, if that was me, I'd be, like, crying and, like... over it. She was like committed to that floor routine, like facial expressions, and I just love it. And her ending pose is the greatest thing to ever exist.
I know, y'all got the scoop on the ending pose.
Yeah, thing. We broke the news.
I was like, oh, that's good journalism.
Wait, just, what about the ending pose thing?
We just love it.
Oh, I love it too.
And
okay, sorry.
She was on our podcast
right
before Classics, and she basically said that she was bringing back that ending pose.
Okay. I thought I was crazy because I was like, she's brought it back.
Yeah.
This also shows that I have very, very limited brain capacity as well, because I should have known that.
It was like a mix of her 2018 ending and her 2017 ending. It was like the two smashed together.
Yes.
Love it.
I just...
Oh, she's great. We love you. Kayla Jello kind of had ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous for her now because she did so well at Classics and then just like struggled a little bit.
Well, she was really consistent on, I feel like, the two events that might matter most. I guess it depends on how the team shapes out, but her vault is really good and she's been really consistent with that. And then floor as well, she's really good at finding her floor landings and not having like too big of a deduction. Even if she takes a hop, it's usually very, very small. So I feel like she kind of has that going for her, but yeah, bars and beam this past weekend weren't probably as great as she wanted it to be. And I don't know if that did her any favors or not.
Yeah. And then just falling on day two, she fell on on her mount on beam. Yeah.
Horrible way to start. Start with a fall. Right. But I feel like that's not okay. Not me about to say that's not hard, because it is hard, but like I feel like it's becoming more common. We're seeing more gymnasts doing it. And it doesn't seem like I feel like to mess that up, you'd have to be going like pretty hard to go over the beam and on the other side, you know?
Yeah, I feel like once you've got it, you've got it. I don't know, something really has to go wrong.
Yeah.
For you to not even be able to save it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not often that we see gymnasts fall on that mount.
Which, I mean, I feel like it is kind of a risky mount because you're basically diving backwards. Like, you could easily miss the beam.
But have you ever seen anybody mess it up?
I don't think I've ever seen anybody mess it up, though.
No, other than just not hitting the handstand. Like, Michaela did that. Like, she'd hit, like, past the handstand.
Yeah, like, I've seen people almost, like, have to save it. But I don't think I've ever seen anyone just, like, fully flip over it.
Yeah. Well, there's a first for everything. She also, on day one, she fell in her triple series. Beam was probably her shakiest event, I would say, at Nationals. But she was so good at Classics.
Right. And I'm just like, okay, girl, like,
get it together.
Trials is time.
Can we talk about Leanne next?
Yeah.
And then I guess Kara, because they're both from Gage, and I'm deciding that that's organizationally good.
Yes.
Leanne has really surprised me. Because I felt like Leanne was kind of out of the conversation for a bit. And I think Leanne has re-entered the conversation.
Totally.
I struggle with my thoughts on Leanne because there's days where I'm like, yep, like this makes sense. And then there's days where I'm like, no.
Well, I hate her floor music, but that's besides the point.
Same.
Her floor tumbling, though. Can we talk about that? Because I feel like at Classics and then at
American Classic.
Yeah, her tumbling was looking a little bit sketchy, and I wasn't sure if she was going to be able to like pull around her double-double, but she actually did really well at Nationals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she got bronze on floor.
Mm-hmm. Which was a surprise to me, because I was kind of expecting Jordan Childs to medal on floor, and then yeah. I looked at the results, and I'm like, oh, hi, Leanne.
Right. We have a lot of floor and vault gymnasts, and I feel like we're really mm-hmm. lacking in beam and bars gymnasts, and I love Kara, okay? If you had told me 2 years ago, she had a really good run in the all-around at Pan Ams, all of that. And now I'm just like, her beam is so beautiful.
And I feel like her day two beam was one of the best routines she's ever done.
Yeah, is that fair to say? 14.2,
which is a pretty good score.
Yeah.
But I don't think, unfortunately, you can justify bringing her as a plus one. Mm-hmm. When she had a really strong all around, because she did for a bit, I would have said absolutely. But sorry, I didn't mean to skip over Leanne at all. I just started thinking about Kara's beam, and I'm just kind of like, it's so beautiful, but
I think with Kara, like I kind of see Kara more in like the specialist role. If she is going to make the team, that's where she would do it. Whereas Leanne, I kind of see her being more in
contention
all around. Yeah, like mm-hmm. actually being on the four-person team. But I also feel like I haven't been super impressed with either. Like they've improved in certain areas, but I feel like I don't know if they're still doing enough, if that makes sense.
I also, go ahead.
Like Kara, how do you guys feel about her 3.5 punch front on floor? Because it has gotten better. Like I think the 2 days of Nationals are probably the mm-hmm. best ones that she's done. But like podium training, it's been scary. Yeah, I don't know if you guys watch podium training, but like not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I also just want to criticize Gage for those Leos because they bunched at the neck.
Ooh, I didn't notice that.
And I thought it was like just one person. I was like, yeah, you can't make a Leo for everybody. And then I was like, no, this is just bunching. And you can't have mesh bunch. Then it doesn't look like mesh anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, their Leos were interesting. I feel like day one, I hated. Day two, I also hated. But it looked good on Aaliyah Finnegan. Am I wrong? Like, I feel like Aaliyah pulled it off.
Yeah.
But we barely saw Aaliyah.
Talk about in part two.
Right. But we barely saw Aaliyah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we see her at all on the broadcast?
No. I don't think so.
No.
Other than, like, in the background or when she was consulting.
I think they showed part of a routine or something. I remember at one point, nope, they did not. Maybe day one at some point. I was thinking of when at the very end they were just like, and the Malabuyo. I was like, what? Like,
and there was no music, so we couldn't even hear her music. Like, I already knew her. I don't know about you, but I memorized routines really easily. So, like, I knew her routine and the music. Like, I was doing it in my head, but there was no music on the broadcast. It was stupid.
So weird. It was super weird. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. If you just look at the all-around standings from day one, you've kind of got, like, a top five, a bottom five. Like, you have Simone, who's, like, trying to get a 60 at all times. You've got Suni and Jordan, who are, like, floating around, like, 57. And then after that, you're looking at, like, 55s. And then 50, and then the bottom, the next five after that, they're all in the 54s. Like, all really crunched up.
Yeah.
But, like, Jade and Leanne were, like, the next closest thing. But it's still not so obvious in the way that, like, Sunisa and Jordan are, to where it's, like, mm-hmm. were they the only two people who are, like, even in contention for, like, a 57, really? And then you have Jade and Leanne and Karen and Emma. And it's just, like, how do you pick with these people when it's, like, all at that point kind of just, like, so similar? Like, yeah. I think we get spoiled by the Simone, like, running away with it margin. It's, like, wait a minute, like, I don't know what to do now.
And again, it's like a second, it's a part two discussion, but like, right? Is it a part two discussion?
Kind of.
Just what do you do with that fourth spot?
Yeah.
What do you do?
And it's the same thing if you look at the, with both days combined. You have Simone basically at like a 120, and then you have the 114 crew, and then everybody else is like 110 and below. Like, it's just like not even close.
I know, it's unreal. And I think, making the four-person team in that fourth spot, like, we'll get into what our thoughts are, like, with who we think it's going to be, but there's definitely a couple options, but on any given day, you could go with somebody else and have it make sense still.
Yeah.
It's really hard to believe.
Yeah, and so naturally, we're going to go with who's the top four at trials. Like, that's what it's going to be, right?
I think that's what's going to happen. Like, we're all sitting here trying to strategize and figure out, like, who makes the most sense, what's going to get the highest score. But, like, Tom is totally just going to go with top four all around.
Yeah, he's going to do as little work as possible and just let the all-around results from trials do the work.
I mean, that's what he's been doing, so
That's not what his job is.
Oh, I know.
His job is to, like, actually think about and strategize. Like, you know what? You know, I'm not going to say, like, obviously, Marta's a terrible person, but Marta knew how to pick a team.
Yeah, true.
Like, of the stuff that she covered up, all of that horrible, but she knew how to pick a team. And it was not top four AA.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes that's not always what's best. Like, people just have off days sometimes.
Yep.
And, like, you gotta, like, factor in, like,
what they've done. I don't have an issue with it for, like, junior worlds. I don't. Sure, give people international experience. They're juniors. Yeah. This is the Olympics.
Yeah. You have to have
more. As what did Spencer put?
Up three count.
This ain't no city championships.
Which, side note, as a person who mostly watches NCAA, the idea of three up, three count is, like, is hurting my soul.
Yes, but I'm so here for it.
Oh, it's so terrifying.
But I think I'm going to love it just because it's so terrifying.
Do we honestly think that outside of Simone and maybe Jordan, do we have two other people that we can actually trust to hit? Because right now,
no.
I'm not feeling too good about it.
We don't, but that's what makes it so much fun.
Honestly,
I'm just gonna just pretend like
it's kind of a good thing though, because the USA has needed more competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like it kind of gets, I don't want to say boring, but after a while it's just so predictable. So in a way it's fun that there's not only so much competition to get onto the team, but also when we get to the Olympics, like, there's a possibility that the USA could fall apart and somebody else could win.
And that is I don't want the USA to fall apart, but it also does. I want to watch a gymnastics meet and know we're not going to run away with it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am with you.
I want, like, everybody to hit. I want, I can already feel the tension and anxiety building, and this is the only good kind of tension and anxiety, I think, in my life. It's a gymnastics competition.
So intense. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm also not looking forward to it.
Yes, exactly. That's how I feel. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing, but also, what if it's a disaster?
I am anxiety. What else do we have about the gymnastics that happened?
Riley McCusker being a queen on bars.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
She looked really good. And I feel like when I heard that she was competing, I was still nervous, just not knowing, mm-hmm. like, what her state was and, like, how healthy she was going to be. But she killed it. And
killed,
I feel
it.
Like, with another 3 weeks before trials, she's going to be back in the all-around. And, like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, don't sleep on her. Like, she's still in this.
They need the bars.
Yeah, I was like, even if she's not back in the all-around, like, Tom was very clear that with the plus ones, especially, they're not looking for an all-arounder.
Yeah. But if she can get back all four events, I feel like she's the perfect piece that we're missing for that fourth spot. Like, we'll get into it, but there's so many people in contention, but I feel like Riley would solve the...
I never thought I'd ever say that either. This weekend has made me think things I've never thought before.
This year has made me think things I've never thought before.
Oh, truly. We literally didn't talk about Simone Biles. I mean, it was Simone. didn't do a double pike. Her two vaults, like, she flew into the freaking air. Like,
her Aminar, is it just me or did it get bigger and better? Like, she opens huge. It up. She could totally do a triple. Your Chanko triple. Totally.
Huge. And she says, like, I've never tried to. I don't want to. I have no interest in doing it.
I don't believe you.
There's videos of her back in 2013 doing it, like into a pit. Like, she has a mat in a pit.
Yeah.
I don't think she's ever landed it on a competition surface, but she totally could.
Absolutely could. She has so much power.
Also, her triple double. She stuck her triple double. Well, almost stuck both days.
It was the best one.
Oh, yeah.
She's ever done. Mm-hmm. It's so freaking high. It doesn't look real.
Can we talk about how they don't even talk about the other Biles anymore? They're like, this is the Biles. I'm like, you mean the Biles too?
Yeah.
The other Biles is irrelevant at this point.
It is. It's like, oh, that's the one she goes out of bounds on too.
You imagine how legendary it would be to go to the Olympics, compete the Biles and the Biles, and then finish the competition, like go to floor and compete the Biles and the Biles.
I tweeted last week, I think it was, I want her to go to a competition, I don't care what competition it is, and just do all of her skills at one time, just so we can have like one meet where she's just like, I got this move and this move,
including the Wheeler Full
routines on every event. It's just Biles after Biles after Biles.
She needs to do the Wheeler Full so she can get it named after her, and then she can have a bar skill, and she'll have at least one skill on every event. It'll be perfect.
That is truly, like, if she stays at all past this Olympics, that's, like, what I want her, like, goal to be, is to have an event on all the skills. Because she said that once she got better at bars, it wasn't fun anymore. I'm like, make it fun.
Right.
Add some shit.
Rather
fun. I want her to go to Paris.
I think she's going to. Mm-hmm. I didn't initially think that she was, but now I'm starting to consider it.
I think she'll take more time off, though. I think she'll take, like, 2 years.
Yeah. But the thing is, it doesn't even matter, because she could take the time off and come back, and she'll be, like, just as good, if not better, because that's what happened last time.
She can just train, like, casually.
Do you think she'll be a specialist, or do you think she'll do the all-around?
I wouldn't mind if she just came as a specialist, especially, like, if they just wanted to bring her as a vault and floor specialist. Be okay with that, but I think that she would do the all around just for the sake of doing the all around, even if she didn't actually compete it.
Yeah. I feel like I can't see her doing anything other than the all around because of how dominant she is. Like, I don't know.
I know, and beam too. It's like her beam was really good on day two.
Yeah.
It was really good. And it's like, so what? You can't not do the all around just because you don't want to do bars.
What she'll do, I predict, she'll come back and she'll do a meet or two as, like, a specialist. And then she'll be like, nah, screw this. I'm doing the all-around and I'm dominating everything again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling it now.
That seems correct. Anything else we didn't talk about?
I feel like somebody mentioned Emma Malabuyo, but I do want to give her a shout-out because she did it fourth all-around and nobody was expecting that. That's like the plot twist of the century, I feel like. She got a 56 in the all-around, which she hasn't done that since 2017. I think Classics in 2017, she got like a 56-something. But she only had one fall, which was on beam, and it was while Simone was on floor. So she gets a pass, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's only pass. Like, you're doing a really difficult beam routine while Simone is going on floor and the crowd is going crazy. Like, no one, we're not paying attention to your fall. We erase that. She nailed every routine.
Yeah.
She killed
it. I was looking at her scores. She was getting in, like, the high 13 to low 14 range both days of competition, like, across all four events. So she was pretty consistent, and it paid off, I guess, because she placed fourth, which nobody saw happening coming in.
I don't know if I necessarily see her, like, in contention for the Olympics. Like, I see people on Twitter saying, like, oh, like, she's going to go and get second at trials and make it to the team. And I would love that. But I just feel like we haven't seen enough of her for me to be confident in that.
Yeah.
She doesn't have as much experience as a lot of the other girls who are in contention for that fourth spot.
But she improved so much from Winter Cup earlier this year. So I feel like she deserves
Massive props for that.
But if she got the second all, if she got second in that all around, then we wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the team.
True. Yeah.
That's you just true. Say,
like I'm almost like, okay, have someone else who's not Jordan or Suni get that second all around spot, and then you fill out the team and you're good.
I actually kind of love that.
It takes away the stress.
You're gonna speak that into existence, and it's gonna be Jade, and I'm gonna be so mad.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, I have issues with that. Let's talk about Jade
and her triple twist and double layout.
Oh, yeah.
So crazy. When I was watching Podium Training, I didn't even realize that's what it was at first.
Same.
I thought it was a really like low landed laid out double double, and then I saw Tim Daggett's tweet, and I was like, "Holy shit, that was laid out."
Yeah, triple double.
Counting twists is hard.
Well, and every time I watched it, I was still like, it can't be three.
It really doesn't look like it.
It's so cool.
And also, I want to give a shout out to Shailese Jones. She got 12th all around, and her vault day two was the best Rechenko double maybe that I've ever seen. So, so good. Offensive, once again, that she wasn't shown. Truly
like
offensive.
At all.
She is so good, and I feel like she just needs a little bit more consistency, and she would be right in the mix with everybody else. It literally pains me so much because she is so, so good at every single event.
Yeah, well, what's sad is that if she was from, like, any other country, she would be, like, the star of any other Olympic team.
She had a 14.85 on vault day one.
Yep, and a 15 on
it's day her two. Beam that's bringing her down right now.
Jesus. Yeah, which is, like, everybody. Everybody.
And I feel like she could use a second vault too, just because her double is so good. That would also help increase her chances if she had a second vault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do a double, though, you can get a second vault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Has she ever trained a second vault? Does anyone know?
I feel like she has.
I feel like she has too, but I honestly don't.
But isn't she's coming back from being in a car accident, right?
Yeah.
That is so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Yeah.
14.3 bars day one. Just like. Solid, truly solid. And shortly,
The Jones and the J.O. Co. Double back with 1.5 twists.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
I accidentally posted on Inside Gymnastics that it was 2.5 twists and everyone was freaking out. And I was like, that's not what I meant.
Did we talk about Grace?
No.
We also didn't really see Grace in the broadcast. Either, which is crazy. Like, that's not somebody who I thought they were going to be ignoring.
Well, especially after how she did at Classics. Like, she was fourth round. I thought that she would have been, like, one of the main people that they're showing. Because, like, she is in contention for the Olympic team.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, I think she did pretty well. So, she got seventh all around. She was having some landing issues on floor, which normally she's pretty consistent on floor, especially back like 2017, 2018. I feel like she was known, or she was becoming known, for sticking her floor passes. She's struggling a little bit now. And also struggled on bars too.
It's the punch front to double front.
Yeah.
She fell on that at Classics and day one. And then for day two, she moved that to her second pass and she was able to get it around. So I think that worked well for her. But yeah, I think going out of bounds, just kind of struggling with her landings all around, like that's not something that we're used to seeing from Grace. And I feel like that is one of the events where she's really valuable to Team USA. I feel like her double on vault and her floor routine are her two main draws for the team. So that didn't bode very well for her, in my opinion.
Well, then I mentioned bars too. So she fell day one on her downy, was it?
Yeah.
And then day two, she struggled to cast up into a handstand. So she didn't technically fall day two, but it was still a pretty significant mistake. So yeah, I think that the hope is still alive for her, but she definitely didn't have the best performance.
Seventh is nothing to mess, like seven, like a lot of like stuff happens, you know. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in the top eight for classic or championships, I'm like, okay, good for you. Like, see you at trials. You deserve to be there.
Yeah, and I think that she's gonna. I don't know why I think this. I just had this feeling that she's gonna be like fired up for trials, and she's gonna come back and be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's yeah. Okay. Anything else we want to say before we switch over to you all?
I think that was everything. Now, yeah, now I just want to start talking about,
I know,
actually in contention for the Olympics.
I know, we're all trying to talk about it, and then like,
how many times do we say, like, we'll talk about this.
Yeah, so if you want to hear that part two, we're going to talk about our Olympic predictions, all of the messiness that happened when the competition ended.
Yes.
We will do that over on All Things Gymnastics. So go over to there now and check out part two. See you over there. So for part two, go ahead and switch over to the All Things Gymnastics podcast. They're on Apple Podcasts. They're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can also get to their episodes directly from their website, which is allthingsgympod.com. You can follow them on Twitter at allthingsgympod. And we are so excited for you to hear the second half of that episode. Thanks to Ashley and Brittany for joining us. And enjoy the drama and conflama of part two over there. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at HIHO Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can find our link tree at linktr.ee/HIHO Podcast, and all of this will be in the description. See you over for part two on All Things Gymnastics.